Chapter 2. The breach in the outwork was being repaired. Brynett Scarface had gone out to watch and was standing on the inner parapet supervising the work. It was a cold morning and mists flowed up the mountainside. In the chill, the men moved sluggishly. Little dark men from the mountains, most of them ragged and still battle-stained, fought the rough ground and the cold stone. They were moved by shouts and the occasional flick of a whip in the hands of one of Brynett's men. Brynett was a tall man dressed in ragged and slashed finery, over which he had drawn a fur cloak from the spoils of the castle. A great seamed scar ridged his face from eye to chin, giving to a face which had never been handsome the wolfish look of some feral beast which had somehow put on the dress of a man. At his heels, his sword-bearer, a little bat-eared man, scurried, bowing under the weight of the outlaw's sword. He cringed when Brynett turned to him, expecting a blow or a curse, but Brynett was in high good humor this morning. "Fools we are, man. We spend days tearing down this wall," he complained. "And what's the first thing we do? We build it up again." The bat-eared man gave a nervous sycophant's laugh, but Brynett had forgotten his existence again. Drawing the fur around himself, he walked to the edge of the parapet and looked down at the ruined wall and the castle. Storn Castle stood on a height defended by chasms and crags. Brynett knew he could congratulate himself with the feats of tactics and engineering which had broken the walls and poured men through them to storm the inner fortress. Storn had been built in the old days to be impregnable. And impregnable it was, and had remained through seven generations of Aldarans, Aelards, Darials, and Storns. When it had housed proud lords of the Comyn, the old, powerful, psi-gifted lords of the seven domains of Darkover, it had been known to the world's end. Then the line had dwindled. Outsiders had married into the remains of the families, and finally the Storns of Storn had come there. They had been peaceful lords without any pretense to be more than they were. Wilderness nobility, gentle and honorable, living in peace with their tenants and neighbors, content to trade in the fine hunting hawks of the mountains and sell fine wrought metals from the forges of their mountain tribe, which dug ore from the dark cliffs and worked it at their fires. They had been rich and also powerful in their own way, if by power one meant that when word went forth from the Storn of Storn, men obeyed. But they smiled instead of trembling when they obeyed. They had little contact with the other mountain peoples, and less with the lords of the farther mountains. They lived at peace and were content. And now they had fallen. Brynett laughed smugly. In their prideful isolation, the Storns could no longer even send for help to their distant lordly neighbors. With care, Brynett would be established here as Lord of Storn Castle long before the word went out through the Hellers and the Hyades that Storn Castle had a new lord. And would they care that it was ruled no longer by Storn of Storn, but by Brynett of the Heights? He thought not. A cold wind had come up, and the red sun was covered in scudding clouds. The men toiling at the lugged stones were moving faster now to keep warm in the biting wind, and a few flakes of snow were beginning to fall. Brynett jerked a careless shoulder at Bat Ears, and without looking to see if the little man followed, but woe to him if he hadn't, strode inside the castle. Inside, far from watchers, he let his proud grin of triumph slide off. It hadn't been all victory, though his followers reveling in the rich spoil of the castle thought it had been. He sat in Storn's high seat, but victory eluded him. He walked swiftly downward until he came to a door padded with velvet and hung with curtains. Two of his mercenaries lolled there, drowsing on the comfort of cushions. An empty wineskin showed how they whiled away their guard. But they sprang up at the sound of his heavy tread, and one sniggered with the freedom of an old servitor.
"Two wenches are better than one, eh, Lord?"
Seeing Brynett's scowl, the other said swiftly,
"No more weeping and wailing from the maid this morning, Lord. She's still, and we haven't entered."
Brynett scorned.